We want to welcome you to Glenville First Baptist Church. It is good that you are here. It is no accident that you're here, and we want to welcome you here. You are welcome in this place. Don't forget that. We, if you are a visitor, in the pew ahead of you, there is a welcome little card to fill out. It don't ask for social security number or anything, but we would like to contact you. So please fill that out. The offering plate will come by, put it in there, and we would be very happy to know that. As far as announcement goes, there might be some up here later on, but we have one big announcement to make. We have a candidate coming for you to consider on February the 26th. This is a good thing. We're happy as we can be. He is a young man. His name is Brandon Newell. Been up in the North Georgia area, comes from down in South Florida, and we forgave him for that. But anyway, we're looking forward to this. Brandon and his wife, Grace, and they have a little boy that's less than a year old. But they'll be with us Sunday morning the 26th and Sunday evening the 26th. And there will be a time, at least in that evening service, for question and answer, get to know him, whatever. And he will be available before church, after church. We want you to meet him. We want you to like him. But we also want you to be honest in your opinion about it. So anyway, we're excited. We hope you are too. God's got great days planned for this church. And Brandon and his wife, we are feeling like we'll be a part of that. So before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we offer ourselves to you here today as a sacrifice of worship. God, we want to magnify you in our minds. We want to magnify you in our actions. And God, you don't need magnifying because you're such a great God, but God, it's us that need to magnify you. And Father, we do that here today. Father, there are families around here in this community that are going through some tough times right now. God, we pick them up to you. Father, other folks are struggling with things that they don't even want to talk about. But God, may they talk to you about it. And Father, may you minister to them in the way only you can. Father, we ask your blessings on what will happen here today. We pray that you be in charge of every bit of it. And Father, thank you so much for being so good to this church for so long. And God, we bless you and honor you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I second Jeff's welcome. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. Stand with me and let's exalt the Lord this morning.
Thank you.
them.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day that we can come here and worship you, the one true living God. Lord, thank you for our church and a place that we can come and truly worship you this morning. Thank you for the gifts. We ask that you bless them. We ask that you bless the givers, the ongoing of our service. We ask this in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
stay in your waist line, you better run somewhere else.
Okay, I think we're on. Music's been special this morning. I'm glad you're here today. And there's good news and there's good news, right? Good news is always about Jesus Christ. And some of the good news that Brother Jeff shared with you this morning, you have a potential candidate coming to serve your church. So you've been praying for a while. And the search committee has been busy at work. They've done their work. Bringing the candidate and family in. And that'll be your opportunity to be introduced to them and determine if that will be your leader for the next several years. Pray that it all bring glory and glory to God. My first church in my first year in ministry, I was invited by the Georgia Baptist Convention to go down to a forgotten place. Now, we sold it down in South Georgia. Y'all probably remember better than I do. Anyway, there was going to be something for pastors and their wives. Well, when I got there, I was introduced to a lot of guys and the speaker of the day, and someone encouraged us. I had no idea what I had walked into. It seemed that as the day went forward, there were a lot of pastors and wives there that were hurting. I looked at my wife, and we talked, and said, well, we're not hurting. We haven't been in the ministry long enough. So my heart was touched those 3 days that we were there. As I listened to pastors tell about their experiences, their wives telling about how their families had been mistreated. And the more I thought about it, I said, you know, how did I get invited here? We don't have any problems. We're doing well. At least we thought so at that time. But there was a gentleman there named James Mahoney. And he wrote a book called Journey into Usefulness. And I bought a copy, and I've held on to it throughout the years. He has since died. But it was a year after his teenage daughter, I think 19, maybe going into 20, was wiped out at a railroad crossing. You talk about a man with a heart for God and a man with a heart for ministers and wives and families. He had it. But folks, that's been a few years back. And he impressed me greatly as he shared with all of us. And throughout the process of the days there, he handed us a typewritten sheet, you know, hunt and peck. And it was poorly copied, but I still have my original copy, but I took that and made it into a little fly folder, and I entitled it, If You're a Christian, You're a New Creation. A few people understand that. I'm afraid we have some people who are members of churches everywhere in all denominations that do not understand that they are a new creation. Well, Brother Mahoney went a little further, and what he had written and shared with all of us, and I guess it was a cheering session for us, my identity in Christ. Now, what do you know this morning? What do you know about the Christian life? What do you know about church membership? What do you know about the kingdom of God? What do you know about our Georgia Baptist Mission Board?
our Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway Christian Resources. Our churches are far behind in understanding who we are as Baptists. But the number one thing is knowing that we are Christians. Things we can be absolutely certain about. I am a Christian. And we ought to be able to sit down and write it out. Why I'm a Christian. Maybe flip through our Bibles and point to the scripture. That's why. Another page. That's why I'm a Christian. But here's what Dr. Mahoney had to say about my identity in Christ. This was for us, each one of us. And you might think, you might put yourself in this position this morning. My identity in Christ. Because of Christ's redemption, I am a new creation of infinite worth. I'm deeply loved. I am completely forgiven. I'm fully pleasing. I'm totally accepted by God. I am absolutely complete in Christ. Think about those things. And he goes on a little further and he identifies this in some manner. He says, when my performance reflects my new identity in Christ, that reflection is dynamically unique. We are a new creation. We are unique because we carry the name Christian. You've heard it and I've heard it. Most of us will identify with a church before we identify with Jesus Christ. That's a fault. I did it for years. There has never been another person like me in the history of mankind. Oh boy, isn't that great? Nor will there ever be another person like me. And Brother Mahoney said, God has made me an original, one of a kind, really somebody. Can you accept something like that? Folks, that's been a few years ago that I heard him share. Then I heard him share the story about trying to get over giving up his teenage daughter. And the incident that had happened, the accident that happened. But I'm going to attempt to share this morning about our identity in Christ and what all of us should know for certain. And I'd like to do it out of 1 John chapter 5. And from what I've read to you this morning from Brother Mahoney, what do you think the greatest human need might be? We're not talking about food and drink, but the greatest human need. I learned many years ago, sometime after this experience with Dr. Mahoney and other pastors and wives, is the greatest human need is self-worth. You can name all the problems we have in our world and just say in our cities, maybe in our families. And a lot of it can be related to self-worth. Parents make their children feel like they're just hand-me-downs. Children are not accepted as they should be as a gift from God. We place our children in the school system and hope that all those teachers are godly teachers and they'll take care of these kids. And they'll teach them everything they need to know. But you and I know. Folks, parenting starts where? In the home with the parents. And hopefully with both parents. I let my wife do most of the parenting. And that could be why our children are doing as well as they are today. Maybe I didn't have the right influence. But I loved them and I appreciated them. And I can remember when my two oldest, they're in their 60s now. My two oldest, when I realized they had become teenagers, wow, how did y'all grow up? How did y'all become so manly and so womanly? I couldn't believe it, and God just dealt with me about it, said, you just failed. And one Sunday night after church, I was burdened. I brought my two oldest in. I said, Louie and Nora, y'all come over and sit down. Sit down on the sofa here. They didn't know what was about to come off. And you know, some of you still use coffee tables in the front of that, and it's a no-no in everybody's house. You don't sit on the coffee table. Well, where did I sit? I sat right down on the coffee table, eyeball to eyeball, to my two oldest teenagers. And with tears running down my face, I begged those two children of mine to forgive me for not being the father that I needed to be. Christian, church member, involved in the church, deacon, Sunday school teacher. Yeah, I'll help. Yes, we'll do that. Folks, we can fail. And we need to remember these things that are so important for us. We need to understand some biblical things that make a difference. And there's many scriptures that we could use this morning, I'm sure, but I had to put a personal context on this to let you know I just wasn't blowing smoke out there over your heads. I'm hoping it might arouse you in some way. But we need to know some things for certain. And then John, 1 John chapter 5, the scripture tells us that everyone, catch those words, everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. Notice what it tells us. By loving God and carrying out his commands. That's what it's all about. For us who believe, we're new creations. One of a kind. We're all creations that have come to believe in Jesus. But we as individuals are just one of a kind. Some would say, heaven help us if there's another one like me anywhere. So this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? The question is asked. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. We should never, ever forget that. Any person who trusts in Christ is born of God, as the saying goes. And we are able to overcome everything in our life because we depend on God to take us through. Yes, we need to be praying for ourselves. We need to be praying for our mates, for our families, for our churches, for our communities, our school system. You could just go right on down the line. See, believing in Jesus Christ is basic to the Christian experience. And I've been in ministry just long enough to have heard, and having been in so many different churches, serving as a director of missions, people believe any and everything somebody comes along and teaches them in Sunday school class or from the pulpit. Yeah, that's what Brother So-and-so said. It's not what Brother So-and-so says. Y'all please understand that. It's what the Bible says is important for all of us as human beings. Jesus Christ, he was called a liar, a deceiver. He was a religious fanatic. People just couldn't believe this person, Jesus. No way. There was a lot of false teaching went around about him. Oh, he's just a man. He's no different than the rest of us. But we've all learned differently than that. On the cross, this was a crazy one to me, but anyway, some people taught this, so I've read that the Christ that they were talking about, they had heard about, the Messiah that they had been told about, left Jesus when he was on the cross. So Jesus was human, but he was God. And he gave his life for you and for me. And all of our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you just go right on and name it. But there's a couple of things that happen. In verse 6, what is the first witness of Jesus Christ coming on the scene? People have interpreted this many different ways, and I've listened to it preached different ways, but here's what the scripture says. This is the one, that is Jesus, who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. That's what your Bible should have in it. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. Nowhere have we ever heard that the triune God was in conflict with one another. I've never heard it preached. I've never heard somebody make a misstatement about it. It's always the three. Triune God. Triune God. Well, John is refuting some of these things that they mention here. Verse 9, he says, we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God. We want to believe these people who study and come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, call us preachers or teachers. A Sunday school teacher is just as valuable in the church as is the preacher. The preacher is supposed to be the shepherd and lead the flock. And what's the flock supposed to do? Respond. Feel undergirded, feel guided. God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which has been given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Have you ever felt like you really had something in your heart that you knew was true? The Bible is the written word of God. It is the inspired word of God. In any language, whether written or spoken. And I've dealt with enough people that wanted to cram one translation down your throat. They're all good. And as I told you all, I think last Sunday, a pastor on TV said, the best Bible you can read is the one you'll sit down and study. Forget the translation. Careful with paraphrases. But translations that have been done by Bible societies. Not a one-man translation. And we could all name some men who have their name on the Bible. I was so shocked. I did an interim over in Sandersville years ago. And I
was plundering around in the back of the church, and I found a box, and it was open, and I thought, oh, there's some New Testament, paperback New Testament. So I said, my goodness, it looked like it'd been here for a good while. It's about a half full box. I picked one up, and man, why don't they use these things? And I turned on the back, and the pastor's picture was on there. I don't know whether that's right or wrong, but I'll say this, it's wrong. No man should claim the scriptures. No man should put his name on the Bible and say, that's my Bible, I've come up with this. I know I've had my name engraved on the front of the Bible, you have too. But give people a proud to give you that. They want you to have it. But in verse 10, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. Have you ever been called a liar? I've heard some people call others liars. I've heard people's response after having been called a liar. It'll make you mad, right? No one wants to be a liar. But God has the capability of calling us liars if we produce the wrong gospel, the wrong teaching. We need to be sure that we believe in his testimony. Verse 11. Believing we have eternal life. And this is the testimony. Colon. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The only way we can have a new life, the only way we can have a new creation that Dr. Mahoney was talking about. We've got to believe and put it all into practice. He who has not, who has the Son, has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Folks, I want to have life, don't you? Not this attitude that I've heard out of some, you mean we got to go to church again? We just went last Sunday. There's people with that attitude. Once a month, we'll do some people. Once a year. I had a pastor years ago on Easter Sunday. He came up to the pulpit and he looked over the congregation and said, Merry Christmas! And when the Christmas time came, what did he say? Happy Easter! A lot of folks at church didn't like that. I thought it was kind of get your attention kind of thing. And I've never, ever forgotten that. Well, John writes further in verse 13. He said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. He said, I'm writing to you who believe, he says. So that you may know, catch that word, may know, those words, that you have eternal life. And he further says in verse 14, he said, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. Approaching God? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked him for. And God is not a Santa Claus, but some people have tried that. When we pray in concert with the will of God for our lives, God will answer our prayers. It's an awesome experience to know your prayer has been answered. Some of you have had the experience of being on your knees, falling over your bed, falling down in the floor,
falling over on the sofa, sitting down in a chair and just bawling your eyes out, because you want God to answer the prayer that's on your heart, the burdens you're carrying. You want to see something happen, and it will happen if we ask in accordance with His will. God does answer Christians' prayers. The Lord is one that nobody likes to talk about for Christians. Christians don't practice sin. Will we ever sin? Yes, we might. But to practice sin tells us that we don't believe what John is saying about Jesus, about Jesus Christ and God. Here we're told, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray that God will give him life. I guess if there's any one thing, one area that I don't pray for enough, is when someone I know is living in sin. We're afraid to say anything about it. We're afraid to call the name out to God. And I'm guilty, folks, I'll tell you. But it's time all Christians, not that we come across holier than thou now, not me, I've never sinned. We don't want to come across like that. But if we're right with God and we are willing to seek someone else to share, seek another person and pray to God about them, there's nothing wrong with that. And I have known a few people who have been to these folks that are living in sin and have a good conversation with them. That's a rough one. Some of you might have been there. But he said, I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death, what he's saying. But he said, I'm not saying that we should pray about that one. He said, all wrongdoing is sin. All wrongdoing. And there is a sin that does not lead to death. I found it hard when I was introduced by way of the Gideons to prison, jail and prison ministry. And I was at that stage in my life of, you know, these people who have committed so many crimes, why should God forgive them? Why should He do that? And I was questioning God. God will forgive every sin committed when that person realizes they've sinned against a holy God and they seek forgiveness. That's what it's all about. Verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. So that's one we want to remember. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we've asked forgiveness of sins, folks, we have a new life. We have a new we are a new creation. We're special. And we gain this sense of worth. We're worth something. You ever heard the testimony of somebody that just thought they were at the bottom, and they were, as they tell it? They never thought they could rise above their circumstances. Man, we don't hear testimonies anymore. I don't know whether it's a weakness on the church body or we just not surrendered. I don't understand it. But I can remember many times hearing somebody rise about their life. And folks, you forget about a 30-minute sermon, because sometimes they might take an hour. They might take longer than that even. So anyone born again, anyone that's a new creation, they will not continue in sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We want to believe when we drive down the road. We want to believe when we walk out into the darkness that God is watching over us. whether we got a flashlight, whether we've got a weapon with us or not. We want to believe that God is looking out for us. We know that we are children of God. And that the whole world is under control of the evil one. Folks, churches, all denominations that believe in Almighty God, that believe in worship, that believe in saving grace, that believe they can become new creations because of their belief in Jesus Christ, they are under attack by our leaders of our nation. And as I read in various good Christian conservative magazines and books that have been written, this is not just in America, it's all over the world. And we must do what we can locally within our homes, within our churches, our communities, and our schools. We must do it. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. And here comes those two words again. So that we may know. So that we may know Him who is true. I love to hear a new Christian share their testimony. It is awesome. It will make you rethink how you've got to be a Christian. And were you as sincere as you thought you were? And you'll want to love that person. You'll want to cheer them on because of their faith and their belief. He has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God. He is the eternal life for all believers. Folks, we all need a heart that doesn't condemn us. We all need to pray within God's will. So, no, we shouldn't practice sin, but we should realize, folks, we can have a real life, a new life. I'd call some names, but our services will be streamed. But there are some people around that have a new life. People around that are saying, I gave up 18 years of just piddling away my life. But now I have a new life, and it's because I'm a new creation. Some of these people will excite you when you get near them. It's bubbling. It's coming out. It makes a difference. But those two words, we know, we know. All of us ought to leave here this morning saying, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I have chosen, for those of you that are members of First Baptist Glenville, I have chosen this church to be ministered to and to minister to others. That's the beauty of having a church. That's the beauty of involving everyone. No one should ever leave the church disappointed. We should investigate every person that says, I'm not coming here anymore. And I've heard that all my life. Well, have you been to them, talked to them? Well, no, we haven't. Well, why don't you? Oh, well, we're just praying for them. Maybe that'll work, maybe not. But there are times when we can go and we can talk to people. But as we conclude this, we need to think, Jesus is God Almighty. Believers do have eternal life. Eternal life. God will answer our prayers in accordance with His will. And Christians do not practice sin. Sin again? Yes. But I've learned that the moment I do something that's an offense to God, I come under condemnation Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I offended you. There are so many ways that we can all pray. But this Christian life is the real life. It's the real life. It's not membership in the church. It's membership in the kingdom of God. And choosing a church to be a part of to reach out to others. A lot of churches have never come to realize that the only reason the church comes together in a body is to prepare themselves to go out and tell others about Jesus. It can be done on the job. It can be done in the restaurant. It can be done anywhere. Anywhere. There's a song that's been around for many, many years. I wish I could remember everything of it, but I know this much of it. The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. Now we need to keep that in mind. Jesus gives us everything we need when we're willing to say, I will. So how certain are you about your salvation experience? How certain are you with your relationship to Jesus? Is it a positive one? Is it one that brings honor and glory to God, our Creator? Makes a difference in our lives. See, if someone doesn't understand this new life that I've mentioned, they missed out. But there may be someone here this morning that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior during the last few days, last few weeks, maybe the last year. We'll never know. But if God has touched your heart, we're going to sing an invitation hymn this morning. Anyone having made a decision, anyone that needs to make a decision, anyone that wants to rededicate their life to the Lord, make a commitment to Him, we're going to sing and we can have a time of prayer and then we'll depart. So, Miss Carla? Sanctuary tonight. It's Valentine in the social hall, I guess that's what y'all call it. And looks like we should have a good crowd, so I hope you'll come for that. And then be sure to plan for next Sunday, having a visitor. Brother Howard's going to be here and share about his church planting ministry. And that's always interesting. We wonder how some churches get started. We'll know more after next Sunday. But I hope you have a good afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you about 5 o'clock this afternoon as well. So let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our dear Lord, we're blessed in so many ways, Lord. We are ashamed that we don't offer you praise more often. Lord, thank you that you brought us together to worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that there are times that jumps off the pages and just touches our hearts. Lord, there are those within our congregation that need a closer walk with you. Some need a healing touch. Some, Lord, just need general encouragement, and we pray the best for them. Lord, as you lead this church into the future, we pray for divine guidance. And tonight, as we come together to enjoy a Valentine banquet together, food, of course, for we Baptists, and that we celebrate love, we celebrate from the heart. We're blessed, and we know it, Lord. Thank you for our day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.